Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Infill Incentive District Design Review Committee. Today is June 28th. It is 10 o'clock on the dot. We're located at the Transit Building, the second floor conference room at 149 North Stone, Tucson, Arizona. Agenda item one, call to order. Chair Gans, absent. Vice Chair Burr?
Present.
Robin Schombach?
Here.
Bill Viner?
Here.
Kathleen Erickson? Absent. Also present is the design professional for the item we will be reviewing today, Corky Poster, which establishes our quorum. Vice Chair Burr, take it away.
I always love doing this. welcome, everybody. The second item of business is the approval of the legal action report. I had a number of concerns about it because the last meeting was a little bit contorted. and there was some confusion as to what we did. I would like to make some recommendations to the LAR and then open it back for the motion to approve.
Sure.
What I noticed was the LAR has presented is primarily based upon the May 23rd recommendations, rather than the actual discussion, which was almost 2 hours the other day. And there were some things there. So I think it would be much clearer if, one, it was identified that our ability to do things would be to approve with conditions, deny, or continue. And we exercised two of those options at the last meeting, which is our. But the LAR has been unclear because the first motion was made by Mr. Viner, and after great discussion was finally seconded by Mr. Gans, and then more discussion, obviously. Some amendments were proposed. Two of them were approved before it was called. The historic the monitoring and further recommendations by the planning director. That was at about 147, or no, 133. And then a second motion was entertained to continue, so that, and I believe that was also with the consent of the developer, which needs to be clarified, so that they would have the opportunity to further it, because no one present wanted to entirely kill the project at this stage of the game. And I think that needs to be clarified in more, or in the minutes. A few other things. We took a break between the two parts, between 531 and 544. It should probably be clarified also who made the motions and who seconded them. The first motion was again Mr. Viner, seconded by Mr. Gans, and that motion failed 3-0. And the second motion was made by Mr. Viner and seconded by Mr. Burr to continue. That motion passed. Any other comments?
The first one failed 1-2.
Yeah.
The motion failed 1-2, not 3-0.
Mm-hmm. First one was 2-1.
Yes, we got that.
Okay. Those were the notes I had. Except I also think we ought to put in the guidance that we provided the developer, which would be perhaps look at a garage. Perhaps look at further compatibility issues of historic and on the north, and minimizing garage frontage, however it was achieved for pedestrian protection. And some of those notes were provided by Corky at the discussion. But that should be in the LIR, so future members could understand what actually was. So, with those noted corrections, can I entertain a motion to approve as corrected in minutes?
Am I authorized to make a motion if I wasn't in attendance?
Theoretically, you can, but you probably should abstain from voting on it.
Just for a point of correction, actually, our guidance from the city clerk's office is that all members should actually vote on legal action reports, even if they were not present at meetings.
That's a new directive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll move to accept as noted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. All right, item 3 on the agenda. The matter of IID 18-08, the Hilton Dual Brand Hotel, 141 North South, and the associated development numbers T19SA 00104 and DP19-0018. C3 Zone IID Downtown Core Subdistrict, continued item from the 5th of June. And I believe we should first go to staff and then the design professional. No, actually, let's staff first, the team, and then the design professional, I understand. And then we'll open it to discussion, and there's just points of clarification.
So the applicant is proposing to construct a 6-story Hilton dual brand hotel consisting of approximately 199 rooms, a parking garage, and retail space. Approximately 76 rooms would be branded Hampton Inn, and the other portion, approximately 123 rooms, would be a Home 2 Suites. The different brands will have rooms on the same floors within the building and will share the other amenity spaces within the hotel to include the lobby, check-in, garage, and pool and courtyard areas. The applicant is requesting a number of modifications as outlined on your agenda. The project has been reviewed by the DRC twice previously, once as a study session and once as a formal review. In the review, the committee expressed concerns about the conflict between cars and pedestrians with multiple vehicle entry points, as well as the lack of symmetry with the cathedral directly across the street. The DRC ultimately decided to continue the item at the last DRC meeting. And in front of you, you have a revised design package, and staff, as well as the applicant, is present today to answer any questions you may have.
That. Who's going to start for the design team for the latest presentation since there's been a lot of changes?
Yeah, I'll start and then Kevin will go and then let Mike go. I think I know everybody in the room, but my name is Greg Fay, the managing partner for Faith Hospitality, the developer of the hotel. I think I've met everybody. Robin wasn't at the study session. And you know what I thought I wanted to try to convey to you to the members today is what kind of what Tucson has meant to me over the last year. When I come to town, I stay at Monica's downtown Clifton on Stone, just down from the site that we're talking about today. And I never have a car. I always just am out and about because I think that's so important for me to know what's going on around the project that I'm going to do. And it means a lot to me. I'm out, I've met a lot of people in Tucson, and it's kind of become second home to me because I'm here so much. Not that matters in the design of this building, but it matters to me that you guys know that, I care about what's going on, and I care about what we're going to deliver, the product that we're going to have. And, I just want to try to, tell you guys.
Thanks, Greg. Kevin Hall, Cypress Civil Development. We are the applicant for the IID process. I won't go into really any more detail of the project. I think everybody's seen it. Just wanted to give an update on where we're at with a couple things. The development package has been through now 2 reviews, 2 completed reviews. We're at a position of what I would call conditional approval. We have a couple minor comments from TDOT yet to address, and 5 or 6 zoning comments, all related to the IID and the IPP that are in process right now. So we're in a comfortable position of getting the development package approved following the approval of the IID and IPP. As far as the IPP, the individual parking plan, we had submitted that a while back. Changes to the development require us to revise that. So we submitted a revision that's currently in review now. Third, next Wednesday. So we'll have that wrapping up here very shortly then as well. So all this is kind of coming to a culmination of things with the various processes. That's really all I wanted to add today. Thank you.
Can I control the
backwards? Yeah.
Absolutely. Does it? I might just go back here.
Sure.
Okay,
that's fine.
We'll read it.
Mm-hmm. Can you just introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, Michael DeMarlis, Senior Franks Architects and Project Architect. So scroll, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You clicked the middle roller there, so it was on click.
Now we're going through the whole presentation at fast speed. It's kind
of... There, so...
Okay. It's funny, Kata. Okay, I'm going to go
back. If you click the little roller button there,
uh-huh.
It should take you off the auto-scroll. There you go.
Okay. Okay. So
now you can just roll. You
know. Okay. Okay. Very touchy mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go backwards here. You get to see it all in reverse. Sorry about that. I've got a long ways to go here. 28 slides, so we'll get there.
Nine more pages.
My fingers are going to get cramped in there. Okay, so let me start by saying we want to thank everybody for all your time and effort that people have put into this project. We hope we've been good sports. So since many of you have seen these slides and probably more times than you'd like to, I'm going to kind of abbreviate the slide presentation and just focus on the new and modified items. Site plan, first off, I know this is a little bit of a small screen, but let me describe a few things. Let me start with the vehicle circulation. And everybody's pretty familiar, but we have the porte cochere and the front entrance of the hotel on the north side on Ochoa Street. And then, of course, Stone Avenue. What we have done in this scenario, you'll see differently from the last meeting, is we've kept just one driveway on Stone. This is the north driveway that takes you and ramps up to the upper parking structure, which has 97 stalls. What we did was, after hearing a fair amount of concern about the sidewalk on Stone being interrupted by two driveways, we've chosen to now bring this second driveway, which was here, to the side on Corral, the south side of the structure. And we also have an alternate study that Corky provided some input on the interior, and I'll share that in a few slides. But by doing that, we've actually, and I think in a lot of ways, improved the streetscape on Stone. More sidewalk, we've added a parallel parking stall back, more street trees, more landscaping. So I think overall it was a good improvement. The site sections, again, nothing really changed here. It's more of a massing and scale study with the neighboring properties to the north and south, and then down below, across from the cathedral, and facing us, we have, you know, we've reduced the massing, you know, at the pool patio deck above, and this is the plaza with alcove that directly faces the cathedral entrance. This is our current proposed ground level hotel floor plan and parking garage. So, of course, we got the hotel and two retail spaces up on the north, lobby, breakfast areas, back of house. And then this whole portion is the structure, which is basically a three-level parking garage inside our structure. The driveway we're keeping, which ramps up to the upper levels. And then the new driveway off the corral, which loops through the parking structure. There's 37 stalls on the lower level. And this next slide is, I'm sorry. I might not see the next slide. Or is it possible that we're not looking at the very latest? It was right after this slide.
I believe that's the design package we received on Tuesday, not the presentation, which has several different slides.
Yes.
Sure, if you want to try the next tab over there.
That one? I'm glad you can see because I can't.
And if you just click on the bottom, Hilton presentation, I'll try that one.
Yes.
See, yeah. You know, I thought that they both have the same, but let's find out.
The west elevation.
That would be key. I wouldn't want to miss that one.
Sure.
I mean, these guys have a hard copy of it, but
mm-hmm.
here we go.
Okay,
so we took Corky's comment. plan seriously and went as far as to study it in CAD so we can really verify ramping and see if that alternative worked. Now, one of the suggestions was to move, the main primary concern was to remove this driveway. So we're showing it blocked off. To add, just have one driveway to feed the entire garage. The first suggestion was to try and get it here, and I know there was, you know, questionable whether we could do it. We verified that it would be very difficult because we had 6 stories of egress and the stairs that we had to coordinate, and also the trash chute that feeds 6 stories that's right here. It would have been virtually impossible without a ripple effect through the upper floor hotel. So we determined that that would not be very feasible. So keeping the existing driveway opening, still studying what it would do to internalize the ramping, we figured out that with some work, it could work. It created additional issues, which I'll share. And more importantly, it reduced our parking by 10 stalls, which really is probably the biggest hurt. We don't really feel like we can afford that. But just to share with you what we did prove out. If this was the gentle ramp, and that was the first thought, gentle ramp so we could side park 8 stalls there. And what that required was when you turn the corner, we had to have a steep ramp for a small segment at this 90 degree, and that was presenting a problem because it created kind of a dangerous situation where typically that steep ramp is not on a 290 degrees. We felt like with people, you can't see the upper deck, but people walking across that and that ramp there created some awkward and somewhat unsafe condition. So an alternative we looked at was, well, what if we make this ramp steeper and do all the ramping here? And we can do that. And I actually pulled it in here so that we had some flat area before the driveway. That allowed us to complete the ramp here. Now, there's 2 reasons we can't side park. Obviously, the first is too steep for side park cars. But also, because we have the handicap, 5 stalls on the ground level, which we need to be level, we needed the accessible route. And that kind of cut into our ramp as well. So for 2 reasons, we couldn't park that ramp. So that was the first issue. The second issue is you come around and at the dead end, which we all knew that would occur. But what it proved to us, it was fairly awkward. We end up with 5 handicap stalls, and that's the real issue, is trying to make sure we provide all the accessible clearances that we really, to get these vehicles to back and turn, required eating up some space to do that, to make it feasible for them to back a vehicle and do a 3-point turn. With that, it reduced 2 more stalls. And the bigger problem we saw was that when you got 134 potential customers coming into this driveway, how many of them could potentially say, well, I'm gonna try and park on the ground level. And as soon as they go around that bend and see that it's full, now they have to use this turnaround and potentially bottlenecks as well. So we felt that it was not a very feasible alternative after we looked at it all. So we chose to stay with the ground level access from Corral. The advantage there is 10 more stalls and it's looped, so it's a very easy in and out process. So that was just basically our study and what we felt. These other slides you've seen, these are just the upper level parking. No changes in either condition. There would have been no changes to those levels. And then elevations. Can I zoom in? I can't see. See which
the top that button. Mm-hmm.
This one.
That middle button.
Thank you. This is going to be fun.
And you can use the bar.
It's easier for you to see. I can't see the bar. So these elevations, not significant changes, just kind of reinforcing some of the design items that we've already revisited. But just to mention the enlarged cornices on the prominent facades, enlarged columns that have been added, and the wall base that you'll see in future details here. On the west facade, Not too much has changed, other than the fact that you'll see a driveway access that's gone, and we've added a tree and landscaping on that portion of the building. The next slide, this is the new garage entrance off of Corral. We had to remove some of the vines and planters on the lower level, but the rest of it remained the same. We were able to keep the number of trees, just shifted the trees. And then no change on the east elevation. And then when you get to the renderings, this one, nothing significant changed from what we've seen in the past, just to revisit, you know, the cornice modifications. The fin modification that used to go below has been modified. That's about it at that view. On this elevation in the southwest, there's the old garage and how that's changed and improved that streetscape there. On the southeast elevation, you can see the new garage entrance off of Corral. Not much else has changed on this. We still have, you know, the shade louvers over the windows and such. Now I get to zoom out. And, that must be the bottom one.
Yes, bottom of the mouse. Round button.
This is the bird's eye view. I'm going to zoom out just a little bit more here. So it gives you probably a better view. We've all seen this, the only difference being the driveway access gone, but the plaza area, how we've tried to kind of mimic some of the paving patterns that are going on at Cathedral Square, and more of a street view of the plaza area. The only significant change, and you'll see further, is that we propose now that to use a stencil pattern on the back curved alcove wall. We'll share that with you shortly. You might have noticed that, you know, we indicate the bike path. I forgot to mention that in the site. The bike path will remain the whole length of the block. And then these are just the neighborhood context photos that were originally done, and no change there. The model still remains what was in those. So they're just three different views of the neighborhood context. Photos that the model is inserted into. Now I'm going to go through about a half a dozen new details just to these are details that we've added recently just based on some of the comments and concerns people have. This study is just at the north end of the hotel. We have two elevations we wanted to share. This is just a segment of our north elevation of the hotel and the proximity of the Scottish Rite building that's next door. And in terms of scale and design elements, even though scale and alignment isn't exactly, you know, what you some people might want, it did show us some things. Our scale of our new cornice is very similar to their cornice now. Their pilasters that they have embedded on that wall along there are columns, actually, since we enlarged them, actually kind of get into the similar size. Their band is not quite lining up with them, but we have a 15-foot band that's all of our canopies along the east, our west and north, and our portfolio overhang are similar to that line. And then our wall base, which I'll share that detail shortly. And then this elevation is looking from the west down Ochoa Street. This is 123 Stone across the street. And kind of reinforces what we've been always trying to promote, is using our podium level as kind of a break point of our building and scaling the lower portion to be similar to the buildings near most of the neighbors near us. And this is a pretty good representation of that. This is just a detail of the cornice that was improved. This was the primary cornice prior. This is now the enlarged cornice that will appear on the prominent facades, some of the neighboring cornices. These are the shade elements that we proposed. The smaller shade louver that goes over the windows on the south facade of the building would be similar to what you see on the left. It's a similar effect that we're trying to get, just to cut down some shade, or give some shade, cut down on some glare to the neighbors. These other examples are some of our shade canopies that are in various locations at the curtain wall, retail areas, up above at the storefront, at the pool patio, which is not public space, but just so you know, to cut the sun glare out of those areas. And then the shade trellis that occurs would be this detail, similar to the photo, not wood though, It'll be metal. And it would occur at the New Plaza alcove and up above at the pool patio. This is an example of the shadow box windows we've always had incorporated in the design, but it's kind of a little bit of a graphical representation, a section through that window and wall and how we recess it. And then a couple examples of shadow boxes to our neighbors to the north. This is an example of our wall and column base that we would use a heavier concrete base with a chamfer. And it's represented by some examples of our neighbors, Scottish Rite and 123 Stone. This is the color palette that we've had previously modified to draw some colors from neighboring properties, and here are the neighboring properties that we drew from. The colors don't represent very well, but they were color verified by FAM, Pink FAM, on site. This is what we're thinking in terms of a concept for a stencil finish at the alcove curved wall. Inspired a little bit by the cathedral has a stencil paint. Cathedral Square has a mosaic in their little alcove corner, and we thought that was good inspiration for doing something. Thought being that we'd do something fairly traditional, something that might fit more into this historic neighborhood, not get real edgy, being directly across from the cathedral, we want to be sensitive to that. And then last but not least, this is the plant palette that we've shared previously. So that is a wrap.
I think it'd be great to hear from the design professional at this time.
Thank you. So I'm going to repeat what I said at the last meeting, which is I consider my job to be kind of twofold. One is to be precise relative to the language of the IID. So I've organized actually all three versions of my report exactly by the language in the IID. But I also know that some of those are subjective. Responses are subjective. And so I've gone through pretty carefully. If you look at your document, you've got my original comments in red, my secondary comments in blue, and my current comments in green. Those comments were made without benefit of the details you showed. I looked at an earlier version, but that's fine. Most of my comments are say satisfactorily improved and resolved. Thank you. I think I say that 10 or 12 times during the report. And so I think unless someone wants me to review those, I'm really comfortable and actually thankful to the improvements that I saw and very thankful for the additional detail that you showed today.
Thank you.
I know it's a pain in the neck to get reviewed and critiqued, but it seems like encouraged by the fact that every time I did that, maybe I shouldn't be encouraged by it. Every time I did that, the project, in my opinion, got better. So I know it's annoying to be commented upon, but my job, I think, is to try to get the best project that we can, and that requires me to be annoying sometimes. So, to that extent, I'm sorry I did my job, but I think I had to. I see really three outstanding issues that are still not satisfactorily resolved in that language. The one I want to go to first is the parking. I realize that a couple of things. You had a really close look at it. I had one question, though, and I don't know exactly what the grades you were missing by, but did you look at an alternative where you ramp down going in for to get some more headroom at the ramp? In other words, you kept the first floor flat, which gave you some headroom clearance ramp problems to deal with. But I don't know that you ever looked at that solution where you ramped and parked on a ramping down floor. I know that creates handicap accessibility, but I also think you sort of wind up with lots of room to solve that. But anyway.
Yeah, I can answer that.
Okay.
We have looked at that in the past, not in this scenario, but looked at it originally because there was concerns by some of the contractors that early looked that they said, could you modify the height of the building by sinking things down? And looked to go in subterranean for part of the garage. And at that time, we realized, just like you, the first thing that kind of alerted us was accessible route would be more complex because we have to do some ramping and do a back ramping up. And so for a couple of feet going down, it really created some serious issues with space to do that ramping. But we had not studied it in this scenario.
Well, the reason I bring it up is if you are missing by 1 foot, that might give you that resolution.
Yeah.
But I also know cars are pretty demanding in terms of their dimension and slope, and so it's easy for me to draw non-dimension, non-slope solutions.
Yeah, I
appreciate the effort you took to do that.
I can tell you that we looked very closely at your suggestion, and quite honestly, you know, with the fact that we could make a version of that work, first it surprised me, but I appreciate that. It means that we were close, but I couldn't tell you exactly how close we were in numbers, but I can say that, you know, with the gentle ramping where you can side park, the limit is 6.6%. Well, we struggled to even do that. We tried to soften our ramps on our upper levels so that the cars aren't banging doors. So even 6.6, it's kind of pushing the limit. So, we went with all the maximums allowed, the 6.6 and then the 18% for the little section of steep. And we were actually a couple inches short on landing, but I thought, well, we could probably make that work on that second landing. But when we realized that was a concern, that little short steep ramp, we said we need to bring the whole ramp over and have one straight shot, much safer, much easier. As soon as we saw that, we realized that ramp that we showed is actually the maximum steep ramp, which is a 9% transition, 18% ramp. That is significant. And that immediately wiped out the installs.
But yeah, I was trying to avoid that.
But that could get us to the landing we actually would have wanted at the second level. And so if you start going down, and it really, I don't know that it would ever get to a point where it would help us without. You know,
right. That was my question. And then I know it's ideal in the current. Well, your most recent iteration with the corral entrance, that leaves all of those handicap accessibility spaces at grade, which is kind of a nice way to do that. So having said that, I feel a little bit like I got a King Solomon cutting the baby in half answer to the question, which is, I was complaining about two entrances on stone, and you said, okay, how about one on corral? You know, I think that's problematic for a couple of reasons. One is that corral is 20 feet curb to curb, as I recall. So
it's about 21.
Yeah,
it's 20.
Yeah. So that's a one-way road.
Right.
So it's either westbound or eastbound. In either case, every person in that garage winds up on corral and on stop. And that's sort of a larger question. That's why I'm feeling like cutting the baby in half here, and I get to make that choice, and I'm not sure I can make that choice without other community input, particularly neighbors across the street, and whether you've gotten feedback from neighbors across the street, and what the impact would be on Scott. And so I guess what I want to do is leave that for the committee to discuss and decide. I think if I had my choice between two entries on stone versus one on stone and one on corral, I think I'd likely go with two on stone. It just seems like a tough deal to enter a parking garage from a 20-foot street in the middle of a historic district. But again, my job is to provide some guidance and advice to make decisions. Recommendations come from the committee, decisions come from the planning director. So, I had hoped that the analysis that you were doing would give a solution of one entrance on from stone. Pretty convinced that you can't do it, although not 100% convinced. I'm not going to ask you to go back and do that. I'm just saying that would be the ideal solution. And I'm going to leave it at that. Sheila?
May I ask a question? Have you consulted with any of the adjoining property owners along Corral?
Not with this change, no.
Thank you.
I just had two other comments that are hanging out there. One is I noticed on some of your drawings, the crosswalk to the cathedral is there. On some of your drawings, it's not there. I know you got a pretty heavy thumbs down from the Department of Transportation about that. My comments were, keep trying. That decisions are not always made at that level. Sometimes they're made above that level. But I'm curious what your stance is, because on some of the drawings, it's one way and some of the other.
Yeah, well, I think what we stand on it, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, is that we don't mind seeing it, but we really, and stated at the last meeting, that we didn't really want it tied to our project or contingent on our project, so we just felt it's not appropriate to be showing something that may or may not happen if people assume it's going to happen because they saw it. But we don't have, and obviously we don't have control over it. We did have some pretty heavy pushback, so that's really the reason.
I understand. I deal with that all the time. So you want to be careful what you show, because someone will remember it 6 months later and said, how come you baited and switched? And I guess the final outstanding comment is just my comment about the porte cochere, which I didn't re-respond to. I do think there's a little bit of a conflict between cars and pedestrians, but I don't see any way that you're going to resolve that in a revision to the plan. And then finally, I do want to say that I think you've really, really made a strong effort to make the building better. Attention to detail, and perhaps those are things that you would have done anyway as you move this through design development and construction documents. I know we always hate to be judged by our schematic design drawings, in the design review process, you sort of have to push further. So I really, really appreciate the level of detail you've shown us today, and just being responsive to the color and the detail and the shade. That stuff. It's a much better project, I think, than when we first saw it. And I have to thank you for making the effort to make it better. Thank you.
Any further comments from staff before we start discussion on the changeovers?
One comment is just that the revised plans have been shared with TDOT for comments on the parking entrance on Corral. We have not yet received comments from them about, their thoughts about using Corral for the vehicular entrance. I will note that entrance is across the street from the parking entrance for a multifamily structure that has, I believe, 25 units, and all the parking is accessed from Corral Street. That being said, we are still awaiting comments from TDOT on that, and that's something we can continue to look at.
And Corral is currently two-way, is that correct?
No, one way.
No,
one way.
And I think the to just clarify on the apartments, that's the exit. It's the apartment drive is a one-way street. Okay. That I don't know what that street south of Corral is, but it's one way coming from that south street and empties on the Corral. So when they exit the apartments, they have to take, I guess, left to get to Stone. They can't go right to go to Scott. So they just come out there.
So it's one way westbound.
Westbound. Yeah.
Which is a little bit problematic for you someone entering the garage and having to find that with the address that says Stone Avenue, right?
Yeah. Well, and can I say that one of the things that we've thought about in analyzing this alternative change of driveway was that 97 of those stalls that are at the upper garage, that the majority of and all the guests can be directed at, obviously the handicapped stalls are on the ground level, but directing all the guests to the upper level of Stone Avenue Drive is the objective.
Yeah. And then you fill that garage first.
No,
and
okay.
Then you.
But how would you direct folks looking for an accessible space who are guests at the hotel?
Yeah. You would have to direct them to Scott and Corral to access that driveway.
Well, to Ochoa, to Scott. Yeah, that'd be
mm-hmm. True.
Right.
Depending on where they come in from. Yeah. And then staff would also park on there.
Okay, thank you.
Cut down on that traffic.
other comments.
Well, we ought to go around and talk about our comments. You got to see this in courtesy.
I did.
But not the last very long meeting.
I was not able to be at the very last meeting. But I have had a chance to review this schedule, and I've had a chance to review design professional comments, and appreciate your diligence, Corky. I feel the same way about the driveway, the second driveway, and appreciate the efforts that you've gone through to show us how that might be improved and the limits to that effort. I would also say that I prefer the two on stone to the solution that was presented today. However, especially since it's contingent on TDOT comments. So since it's a little bit of six of one, half dozen of the other, I'm willing to recommend approval on either based on the comments from TDOT, because I think that is an important component, understanding the traffic flow in a larger context, which we don't have today. But since I feel like either one of them is has its pros and cons, that additional, and I think we can do that, I think we can have our motion contingent on feedback from them, and then they move forward accordingly, because I think either one of them is manageable at this point. And I also appreciate the revisions in the level of detail, particularly the shading on the south side. That was something I think they presented in the last one, but this one was the first chance I had to really look at it. So I am ready to make a motion to recommend approval with those caveats.
I might have a couple conditions too, but if we can make a motion.
I'm not at all surprised.
Bill, what are you thinking?
Can the secondary garage with the entrance off Corral, I thought I read in here somewhere that you were going to direct your staff to park in that space, or did I misread
that? That's certainly an option to cut down on the amount of guests, but certainly the primary idea was direct the majority of guests to that stone driveway parking, other than the accessible stalls. And then it would probably just become an overflow when, like Greg says, when that upper lot gets filled, then they might be directing some traffic to the ground level. But it could also be some of the staff. It could be special visitors to the hotel that are not guests, so that they're kind of segregated from the main guest garage. And certainly to direct, so that, you know, right now, like three quarters of the traffic already is going to go to the Stone Avenue driveway. So we feel like that Corral driveway is going to be limited use for sure. It's got 37 stalls.
Will that have a restricted entrance?
They potentially will both have restricted entrances where there's a code access required.
And I'm just assuming that there would be cameras in those garages, and when somebody checked in, if they needed accessible parking, you'd be able to tell them their space in the Corral entrance. So to direct them and get them over there in terms of managing how people park in the different spaces.
I think it's pretty common that the hotels give pretty explicit directions for when to park. Because a lot of these people are also self-parking. They're checking in online, and Hilton uses that digital check-in. So that's another reason that I think it might help a little bit in Corky's one concern at the Fork of Share. That traffic is going to keep dwindling and dwindling, because if roughly 50% of guests come by car, many of those will start using digital check-in and go directly to the Stone Avenue garage and not even go to the front desk. So that traffic at the north will dwindle over time. And that's the goal.
And is Ochoa two-way or one?
Ochoa's two.
Is it just personal preference? I mean, I think a lot of this is your all's decision. I prefer the entrance on Corral. I prefer the elevation and the additional parallel parking on Stone. If I was going to drive by, I'd rather just see one hole there. I prefer the Corral entrance. It just seems aesthetically to be nicer. I think there's an easy way to manage and direct traffic into the secondary parking area. But I, too, appreciate Corky's comments, and I appreciate the work that you all have done to
to address all the changes that have been brought up. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I guess it's my turn. I appreciate you finally presenting the historic compatibility page, which we've requested for a number of months, because I think it shows that you've addressed it. I really am glad you at least broadened and redefined the listers, enhanced the base so that there's some continuity there. I understand your desire to have a very modernist frame, but it does have some context now, and I think that's better shown than it was previously. Full disclosure, I've met with the design team twice, about the 10th of June, and then earlier this week for feedback, initially of what happened at the last meeting, and then the second time for commentary back, and I provided some of those details, and I'm going to go over those now. I am mixed. I really prefer the Stone Avenue frontage with a single streetscape. I really think that four trees, a balanced streetscape with only one conflict is better. I think the southern entrance is problematic because it is so close to Corral that it could create traffic conflicts. One of the questions the Cathedral people brought up was periodically closing off the section between the two hotels, and by having a drop-off parking garage in Corral, or at least handicap parking on site, the Hilton could make other accommodations for a day closure or other things to accommodate that without being entirely cut off and kind of defeat that.
So what kind of closure? I'm not trying to remember.
The Cathedral is often requested to close Stone
for a one
block area, and they provided commentary and backup at the last meeting, which you were here for. And they actually spoke as well during that meeting. And I can see how that would actually happen a number of times. I realize that the IPP process is separate. Usually they're 3 or 4 months apart, but it's also within our purview to discuss parking reductions as part of design review here, because we may have additional concerns or modifications to theoretically an approved IPP. I realize it's outstanding. I would like to get feedback from the adjacent neighbors and see what is possible there. When I was looking at it, I think it can be done by signage for the limited basis, but I would request that a right turn only sign be placed inside the garage, so all car traffic from the garage would be directed to Stone. I would prefer to have a non-entrance if it can be worked out after TDOT consultation and Haluohoa and trash, which are the big people. If a small segment of Corral could be returned a two-way just to the entrance, and then signage that said, do not enter going east on Ochoa in front of the two residential properties that also have access there, the historic properties. Or a sign that says neighborhood access only, which is more directional rather than code oriented. I'd also still like to see a preference for a suggestive sign at the Port Crozier that says left turn only to minimize the traffic throughout the neighborhood. But I think these things can be addressed. I don't have TDOT's commentary. I don't know what the process does. It may be whatever, but one of the conditions would be if we approve the Corral garage has one of the options that signage would be mandated to minimize neighborhood impacts. Does that seem somewhat reasonable?
I mean, I'm not sure I understood all the comments, but I.
We're trying to keep.
I mean, it would be helpful for me if you'd actually show them.
One of the big things about the Port Crozier is Ochoa appears to be large enough to have the turning radius to go back on the Stone for most people. I brought it up. Mr. Bay was not terribly excited about a left turn only on the north side. But it was mentioned that if it was
a, what is it, a yellow sign rather than a white sign, that the stupid people who we don't want in the neighborhood will indeed turn left, and those who knew traffic regulations would know that it was perfectly legal to turn right and go around, but would probably follow traffic laws. And that, you know, people have a different understanding of what the area is, and so some sort of signage that impacts neighborhood or helps minimize neighborhood impacts, if indeed it does work out better to have a corral entrance. I actually do prefer it as an option because I think the Stone Avenue street frontage is more important in the larger context. I brought this up last time. Stone is slated its one-way segment to be eventually returned to two-way traffic after the Downtown Links project is done. Sixth was already done. The monies are difficult because of the costs of the traffic lights, but when that happens, from 18th Street all the way to River Road is a continuous route of two-way traffic. And so traffic will be very different in this area in the future. I don't have a timetable. I don't know where that is on TDOT's wish list at the moment, but it's been a 15, 20-year conversation. There's also a lot of new development activity to the south, and I think safe passage between downtown and what's headed towards Five Points is really important there. So that's why I prefer the two different street entrances at the moment. A couple of other things that I brought up. I like the stenciling. I think it's a good response to the cathedral across the street. I ask about art and other concepts in the pocket park. Then we always get back to the wonderful idea of what happens when a whole bunch of people, theoretically unmonitored except by cameras at night, have access to a slightly shadowed wall in terms of graffiti. So I would like to see a tile dado up to the or some other mechanism that's not just paint, that's more of a permanent design element from the trellis down inside that pocket park. I think it would also be more responsive to the cathedral in terms of an additional material. It's not a lot of cost, but something you all might want to consider. So Mike seemed somewhat interested in that when I brought it up the other day. So I thought I'd bring it up again. The crosswalk is a separate issue. I think it is a possibility with further consultation with all the stakeholders, with TDOT. Obviously, there's a new TDOT director, but I pulled up the minutes from the 2007 meeting on Five Points Pedestrian Improvement Project, and it was always suggested that that was a possible future option for that street to use the stamped asphalt for that particular area, which was used at the other crosswalk. So I think that could possibly be moved forward, but I understand why you don't want it as being part of your project. Are you happy with plants? Okay. We didn't have that feedback last time, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, it was not my specific area of expertise, but I took no exception to the plant palette.
Okay. We don't have the benefit of Blu-ray or herb replacement for that. I also want to make a condition that we do the seismic monitoring of the historic buildings, which they have all agreed to. One more thing about the parking. If mainly staff and handicapped access would be the corral use, it was one of the discussions in the IDP, and your team appeared to be willing to enter into contracts to make assure additional parking. But since 37 women spaces will now be for staff and handicapped, theoretically, based upon your policies, then you're slightly less than half of rooms being accommodated. And I want to make sure that a reduction in parking that we also approved today makes sure that it's on your dime to cover your clients within your business model, rather than being most people wanting to park in the neighborhood, because that's our biggest concern from a neighborhood perspective. So I'd like that condition, that parking agreements would be acceptable
after you get a smaller parking garage. So. Do any of those sound reasonable? Since you sounds like you're going to be the one to make the motion, I technically can't. Has
Bill is also able to.
This is true.
Yeah. No. So just my own feedback is I don't know that the fine grain traffic control signage is necessarily something I feel strongly about. I'm kind of still, I'm not entirely tracking on that, but I feel like the accommodations that we've made based on the presentation today, that TDOT may have their own comments, and I would just leave that to them. I don't think we need to micromanage that personally.
I'd be happy with both options being up to TDOT and design, but if the corral entrance is there, that appropriate signage to minimize neighborhood impacts just be part of the recommendation. However, staff, TDOT, department director approved that based on. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. You're okay with the sizing of monitoring?
Yes.
Okay.
Stone now is one way going south.
It's two-way in that segment, and it becomes one-way from Broadway to essentially two.
So it's two-way.
Well, let me take a stab at it.
Do you have any feelings about perhaps another artistic element that would be more permeable in the?
No, I also feel like that's their responsibility to maintain their building and their structure in the event of any kind of vandalism. So whether that's a paint or a tile, it's, I think, their choice.
Okay.
It still would need to be maintained if it's damaged, and that's up to them.
Okay.
Again, that's my
opinion. I agree with that.
So I will make a motion that the Design Review Board recommend approval with the with the following contingencies. The seismic monitoring of the adjacent historic structures. Appropriate signage as directed by TDOT to minimize impacts to the surrounding neighborhood, residential neighborhood.
Dual option on the garage?
I don't think so. I think what I heard today was that the consensus that Corral Street is acceptable, and if that's what's presented, we can make the include that as presented without any contingencies.
Okay.
I think that's all.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call of a question?
Sure.
Vice Chair Burr?
Aye.
Bill Weiner?
Aye.
Robin Schombach?
Aye.
Motion approved 3-0.
Thank you, guys. I hope that you feel that the additional month we gave you really helped. I feel it's very important that we give good guidance to the director for the best project we can. And that's why we try to be one. But I appreciate you making changes over and over again to this process.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Great.
All right. So, back to the end. Are you happy with all of that, staff?
Yes, I think that was a very clear motion. Thank you for that.
Okay.
And very clear conditions.
All right.
Appreciate it.
The next item is call to the audience. Anybody want to comment? Okay. Future agenda items. I understand that there's 3 or 4 coming up, some in July.
Mm-hmm. So looking at what we have kind of in the pipeline for the infill incentive district, I think it's unlikely there will be a meeting in July, but there could be a meeting in August and probably a series of meetings in the fall. We're seeing a lot of proposals come in kind of in this area on South Stone, which is exciting to see development activity kind of move south from downtown. So 375 South Stone. That is a proposal at Stone End, is it 14th? 14th, thank you. The former Casa Vicente site. They held a neighborhood meeting recently, so could submit an application sometime over the summer. We're also seeing a cluster of projects kind of around the Five Points area, which includes the Baffert, Pueblo Vida, 18 West 18th Street. So a number of projects that are sort of in development there. None that I anticipate would be ready to be reviewed by the committee over the summer, though.
Corin, I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, is that I will have to recuse myself from the bathroom.
Thank you. Yes.
A party with the same name as the designer.
Understood. Thank you for that early notice on that. Also, Lewis Hotel Lofts in downtown on Broadway. I think that's moving forward.
Is that moving forward?
I don't know the address. It's at Broadway and
Arizona,
yeah. I believe.
But also potentially with a new deck, I understand, over the historic structure.
I'm not sure
don't
about
ask,
that.
Don't ask me to be the professional.
Which one is that one? I'm sorry.
The small vacant lot.
This one right there.
Next to the carriage house.
And what is that? What is that called?
So it's Lewis Hotel Lofts. Is actually the
Lewis
building just to the east of there. And so the proposal will include new construction on that site that Nick has pointed out there, as well as a connection to that building to the east and a rehab of the structures, the apartments that are on the second floor there. And the interesting thing about this project is that this site actually went through an approval process kind of in the precursor to the Infill Incentive District, which was a major design review process. So there is, there are some approvals in place already for development on this site, a parking reduction, setback reduction, things like that have already been approved, but it hasn't gone through a design approval yet. So that's what will be before this committee.
It was just kind of,
so it's unusual.
It was approved under the old IID for certain reductions.
Exactly.
Which no longer actually apply, but the reductions do.
So
because
it's,
they're
exactly, but it has not gone through a design approval process yet. So those are sort of what's in the pipeline. Again, I don't think any of that would be before the committee until August. So you have July off.
127 South 5th.
That's another that I think would be, you know, a little later in the summer or fall. That is nearby. I don't believe they've held their neighborhood meeting yet, or do you know if they have, Nick? So that's why I think that might be a little further down.
It looks like we may have another courtesy meeting on 75 Broadway.
Yes, so last time I think you guys expressed an openness to additional courtesy meetings on that. I think they will likely take you up on that when they're getting closer to final designs. And we'll work to schedule all of those hearings. Just a couple announcements. One is that we are working on a placement of a registered landscape architect to replace Lori Woods, who resigned earlier this year. So we've had an application from Jennifer Patton of Wilder Landscape Architects to sit on the committee.
She is interested
and has applied for a position on the committee, so we plan to forward that as a recommendation to the city manager's office to have her placed on the committee so that we can have a registered landscape architect to provide that expertise on the committee. And then I mentioned earlier, but just to say again, the meeting locations may be shifting over the next few months as we're under construction at the Public Works building. So expect more meetings to take place here and possibly some other locations. So we'll try to highlight the location in the future. And I think that's it for announcements for staff.
I just had a quick comment. I think some of us were surprised at the timing of Carolyn Lori's departure. So I think it would be nice if we all put it in the record of the meeting that we thank her for 5 years of service, because we worked along here. We noted, you know, that she did a great job, and we're sad to see her go, and hope she's moving to greener pastures.
That's great. Thank you for that. We will pass that along to her.
Appreciate just on the August meetings or through maybe Labor Day, if we could avoid Friday afternoon meetings, or we could do them on Thursdays and for people's travel schedules, so if they're planning to leave town on Friday, there wouldn't be a conflict.
Good point. We'll take note of that. And thank you all for making this meeting on a Friday. We know that it's probably not the first choice, but we appreciate getting this project through the process.
And ideally, I prefer like the 11:30 to 2:30 slots if it's possible.
Great.
We
want to make it work for everyone. No doubt.
I got 3 hours sleep last night.
Thank you all for your service on the committee.
Yeah.
Is that it?
We're out of here.
We need a
motion to approve to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Excellent.
We adjourn at 11:04.
Great.
Thank you.
1 hour.
Sure.
Excellent.
Thanks, Robin.
for coming.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Bye, Corky.
You okay with that, Corky?
Anybody need parking caps?
Suggest another parking scheme.
You might have a future as a parking consultant, Corky.
I'm going to stay at my